This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. Pope Francis has erected the new apostolic exarchate for the Eastern Catholic Rite Maronite faithful resident in Western and Central Africa. The exarchate will be located in Ibadan, Nigeria. Vatican Radio first reported the news of the creation of the new semi-diocese when the Vatican announced the decision last week. Monsignor Simon Fadul was nominated by Pope Francis to be the first apostolic exarch to the region. He currently serves as president of Caritas Lebanon, assisting more than 1 million Syrian refugees who have flooded across the border to escape the ongoing conflict in their homeland. Monsignor Fadul was also appointed apostolic visitor for the Maronite faithful resident in southern Africa. In today's interview, Monsignor Fadul explains what an apostolic exarchate is and shed some light on the Catholic Church's Eastern Rite Maronite faithful in Africa, many of whom came from Lebanon and Syria. The new apostolic exarchate for the Maronite Church in Africa, Monsignor Fadul explains, is not the first of its kind. Pope John XXIII established a similar one in Brazil in May 1962. Some 3 to 4 million Maronites are believed to live outside their homeland today, many in Africa, North and South America, and here in Europe.
In the Maronite Church, we had a previous experience long ago in Brazil. When the Diocese of Maronite Diocese of Brazil was first established, it was an exarchate. And the late Bishop Zayek, Francis Zayek, was the first exarch on that exarchate. And then a few years after, it became a diocese.
Could you explain to us what exactly is an apostolic exarchate?
Practically, it is a diocese. Practically. Canonically, it's not a full-fledged diocese because it doesn't have the framework and the statutes of a diocese. That's why it starts as an exarchate, because it starts, for the Maronites, starts within the limits of the authority of the Catholic bishop there, the Catholic cardinal, you know, because it's within the Catholic sphere. So that's why they call it exarchate. And then once the framework is established for a diocese, they start calling it eparchy or diocese or whatever.
What can you tell us about the Maronite community there? Have you even ever been to this part of Africa?
No, I haven't been to that part of Africa at all. The closest to Africa, where I was in Egypt. That's it. This is a continent that is really unknown to me, that I will get to know it lovingly. But I know that we have quite a lot of communities in different countries in Africa, especially in Central and West Africa, and South Africa certainly, and Central and West Africa, going like from, we're talking Nigeria, Accra, Ghana, Burkina Faso, Cote d'Ivoire, Senegal, whatever. All these countries, we have Maronites in almost 15 or 18 African countries. And so my mission would be to try to shepherd them and attract them to Christ and the Maronite rite.
Can you give us an idea? I know you're on your own learning curve. You're trying to get a feel for what you're going to be called to do. But what do the Maronite faithful do in these countries? They've immigrated into Africa from Lebanon.
Most of them have either they are traders or they have industries, large industries and contracting firms and stuff like this. They have migrated from the Lebanon. Well, in Africa, it's quite old. It's from, you know, since the turn of the century, of the 20th century. Like my own village, personally, it's like half the village are in Accra and in Ghana, and some of them are in Nigeria, in my own village in the Matin area. And even the younger generations, because of the war in Lebanon, went to Africa to continue the work of their fathers and whatever, and then certainly they widened it and enlarged it in different countries in Africa. Yani, they left Lebanon because of need, searching for better opportunities at that time. Now, the new generations who are going to Africa, they are going as professionals. Either they work for Lebanese-owned firms, companies, corporations, or they work for international global companies as professionals.
Why do you think this exarchate was erected in this particular time?
Well, because the Maronite Synod had requested from the Vatican the erection of a Maronite diocese in Africa. However, really, the process went quite quickly in the congregation of the Oriental churches. Thank God for that. It wasn't expected to come that soon, but it came soon.
So when would you be taking up this new job? And you have, presumably, there has to be a structure in place, a place for you to live, a place for you to have meetings with the bishops from the areas?
Well, I will have to certainly to put all these things together. I have the coming 3 months will be decisive in that respect. And I until now, I don't have details because we haven't started the preparations. I'm still all taken by the work of Caritas. We are in emergency setting. But soon I will be starting all the nitty details, preparations for such things. I will have my place will be in Ibadan in Nigeria. We have there a nice pastoral complex. It will be the center for the exarch. And from there on, hopefully everything will fall in place.
You're going from one area which is undergoing great tensions because of the war in Syria. You're going to another area of the world which is also undergoing tumultuous upheaval through war and conflict. How does that make you feel?
Beautiful. I feel good. I feel good because, after all, we don't choose our mission. If we really believe in the mission we consecrated our lives to, then we don't choose it. I didn't choose to do what I'm doing now, and I'm not choosing what I'm about to do. But I consent to it, and certainly it will become mine. Now I am in the process of growing ownership of the idea. Then once the idea is owned by me totally, then I will be able to develop, I think, better develop my vision to that, and hopefully things will go on beautifully. As for the security-wise, I think nowadays it's almost the whole world is similar in that respect, because it's the problems is more rather terrorists rather than anything else. So we count on the Lord, and His hand will be with me. He'll watch over me.
It seems to me an odd time to be sending someone such as yourself over to Africa. You are in charge right now of all the Caritas operations regarding the Syrian refugees coming over, who have reached more than 1 million people. So you are in a huge crisis there.
That's true. That is true. But in some instances, you don't choose the timing. And then you have to make the best of what you have. This is the situation now. What we are doing now is, based on our statutes, the Catholic patriarchs will name someone to take my place, and I will accompany that someone for 2.5 months to help him understand and see things through, and then certainly before I depart, everything will be, I think, taken care of in that respect.
You were just at the donors' conference there
in Kuwait.
Yes. How did that go? Were you satisfied with the amount of money that is...
No, it was too little. The expectations were much, much, much higher. And when you were talking, they were demanding 6.5 bill, and then they received only 2.4. That's too low for the expectations. But anyway, at least they got together, they talked, they shared. We could see, we could hear so many shared feelings about the Syrian crisis and shared visions. Personally, I feel that it's all political. What's the reason for Saudi Arabia and Emirates and Qatar to donate $60 million each? I'm sorry, it's like a walk in the park for them. It's nothing. You know what I mean. So it's political rather than only humanitarian. We don't know what's going to happen, but the crisis is open.
Can you tell us, Monsignor Fadul, exactly what is the situation now? What is the weather like now in Lebanon, and how are the refugees coping?
Well, right now, differently to any other year, right now it's beautiful, sunny, it's 20 degrees, it's wonderful. because we are having a very difficult year. Until now, it's been very dry. We only had one storm, and that's it, about a month ago. In January, it hasn't rained yet at all. So it's really, we're having a very dry year. Usually, at a time like this, we have like 1 meter of snow in the mountains, and we will be now under rain all the time, and, you know, with low degrees, temperature and stuff. But this year, exceptionally, it's a very warm year until now. We are praying for rain. We are praying for rain. So until now, it's been very good to the refugees. It's very good for them because it hasn't been really very cold and very muddy and very... only when we had the storm, they went through hell. But so far, it's been okay. We are praying for rain, while also we are watching what's going to happen with the refugees.
You say that you are not happy with the amount of money raised in Kuwait. What are your greatest needs at this point?
With the refugees, the needs are still the same. They are of all sorts, yani, be that materialistic goods or be that psychological support or medical support or whatever. Anything you could think of is needed there. You have over a million people who are left alone. Children, 400,000 children, only about 100,000 can go to schools because they can be absorbed by the system. But the 300,000, nobody is asking about them from the international community. What will they do? What future generation will we have? Uneducated people, illiterate people, people who are only, their only worry is how to get the bucks so that they can provide food on the table. You know, it's very difficult. You see children in the streets working, doing something because they want to bring bread to their moms and to their brothers and sisters. This is the everyday story. You have child labor, you have child prostitution, you have women prostitution, you have all sorts of things, you know, that are emerging now in a very terrible way because the people, they want to survive. That's it. And then it's impacting on the whole structure of the Lebanese society, be that the infrastructure of the country or the social components, the complexities of the relations, among others. We are witnessing now so many conflicts between the Syrians and their host communities, you know, Lebanese communities, because it's become so tough, so difficult on everybody. So economically, security-wise, crime is on the rise beside the terrorist acts and stuff like this. Beside this, you have, you know, so many crime rate is getting much higher.
What are your expectations and hopes of the Geneva II conference?
Well, our wishful thinking and our wishful desire is to see peace coming through, you know, so that this conference will bring about peace in Syria. This is our wishful. Our realistic view is different because we see that the different parties are going there and already they are not in agreement of going there. And you have the opposition, they are fighting one another and everybody is saying this one doesn't represent me and that one doesn't represent me. And I don't know who's going to represent the government is going with their own agenda, also refusing every new proposal given by the opposition. The international powers have their own agenda. Everybody has their agenda. So, well, we do hope it won't be only a nice vacation for the participants. They'll come out with some tangible results. We do hope for that, and we pray for that. But the way we see it until now, nothing predicts this, unfortunately. Nothing tells us that it's going to be beautiful and we're going to see an end emerging.